Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Fugitives from Justice Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, apparently, this is just a rumor, but I think
it seems true, though.
We do have some verification. Our esteemed producer, Dougie Berman, has fled the country in an effort to avoid prosecution. Now, some time ago, Dougie was in Washington, D.C., and he was drinking coffee in the subway.
In the metro. Which is not allowed.
Not allowed. I mean, I think he was drinking coffee and had a bagel in his other hand. Anyway, he was accosted by the subway police, and taking advantage of a diversion, he managed to elude the police by jumping onto a passing subway train. Unfortunately, the doors are already closed.
He got hurt, but he got in.
He got hurt bad. And anyway, he was able to limp away and somehow has remained on the lam up here in our fair city ever since. And I guess he must have gotten word that the dragnet was closing in on him.
Oh, Interpol was after him.
I think so.
I heard. I mean, someone came to my house and discussed it.
Well, he has fled south of the border to sunny Mexico.
I should have known something was up when he tried to sell me his pickup truck for $50.
Come back, Dougie. All is forgiven. We're your friends. We'll help you.
That reward money means nothing. We would never accept reward money. Hey, I got a good piece of mail here. Something that a lot of people don't understand is in this letter from Bonnie Nixon from Bath, Ohio.
Yeah?
As an art major, I worked my way through college.
It is art.
I said art. Art.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. No. As an art major.
Yes, very good.
As an art major, I worked my way through college, which means that car ownership was an unthinkable luxury at the time. Nevertheless, my kindly old landlord steered me toward his brother's 61 Comet, which in 1971 I bought for $75. My 61 Comet was a piece of junk, four ball tires, but it ran. And when it didn't run, I walked. I'd read up on spark plugs, alternators, or whatever, and then go about in the backyard and fix the car all by myself. I remember the year my family bought me a new battery for Christmas.
What thought?
Oh, nice, huh?
Yes.
Now, here it is. Get this. The problem with my family is that they didn't understand the BHAM theory. BHAM. The black hole of automotive metaphysics theory. Get this. The black hole of automotive metaphysics theory postulates that the car universe favors the young and the fast and despises the old and the slow, and that this universe is inhabited by unkind spirits or evil twins who lie dormant for many years until a car owner does something that is not 100% essential to the life of a junker. For example, body work.
Oh, yeah.
Or buying new tires.
Mm-hmm.
Any non-essential, and now you know that this has happened to you, any non-essential expenditure creates a rip between the two universes, awakens the evil twin, and I can't read the rest, angers him, I'll say.
Oh, yes, okay.
The twin says, well, since she can afford a paint job, let's see if she can afford a brake job, a clutch, and a new transmission. You know this is true. Awakened, these evil spirits will force a car owner to choose between the junkyard or pouring endless sums into the black hole of auto repair. I once proved the BHAM theory once in the parking lot at the grocery store. An insured motorist backed into the 61 Comet and smushed in the door. He got out, apologized, pulled out his wallet and said, how much do you think it will cost to have the door fixed? Are you nuts? I said to him, fix this piece of junk. Forget it. He thanked me and we drove off. Appeased, the car gods slept for 3 years. The Comet ran 80% of the time for 4 years. The only money I put into it was $25 for a rebuilt starter. You guys may be right about art majors, but do you think I care what a couple of grease monkeys from Boston have to say about my car? Bonnie Vixen, Bath, Ohio.
Bam.
Let me get this right. The black hole of automotive metaphysics. It's absolutely true.
Well, it is.
As soon as you do an unessential thing to the car. That's why, see, I guess I didn't really understand the theory, but you know that that's the theory that I live by.
Oh, yes, we do. If you want to call us with your question about your car or your story about the automotive gods, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Nolina from Socorro, New Mexico.
What's your name?
Melina?
Nolina.
How do you spell that?
N-O-L-I-N-A.
Oh, like little Nola.
Like Nolina.
Like Nolina.
Like Nolina.
From, and where are you from?
Socorro, New Mexico.
Wow.
Okay.
You are a challenge. Go ahead, Nolina. What's up?
Okay. My vehicle is a 97 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And it began running really poorly, and the check engine light came on, so I took it to the mechanic, and he said there's coolant in the engine, the head gasket is disintegrating.
Yeah.
Which is a big repair.
That is a big deal.
And you have a 4-liter, 6-cylinder engine in this thing?
No, it's an 8-cylinder.
Oh! Even worse.
Oh, you got two heads.
Hey, two heads are better than
two
one.
Two heads are better than one. We just figured that out. Oh, jeez. Okay, so what do you want? What do you want to do? Just cry with us or what?
Well, okay, he said there's a possibility that I can do a quick fix by buying this stuff called Bars Leak.
Mm-hmm.
And putting it in there, so in the cooling system. So yeah. I went and bought some, and right on the bottle it says, do not mix with antifreeze. So I called him back, and he goes, oh, we do it all the time. Just go ahead. It's okay. It won't hurt it. So that's my question.
Oh, I think Bars Leak wants you to remove the coolant.
And fill it with water.
Right.
And
it probably works better.
If that's what you do.
Yeah.
For those who don't know what Bars Leak is, Bars Leak looks like semi-liquefied rabbit droppings. Okay? And you
pour it right into the radiator.
And then you put make sure there's sufficient water in there or coolant or whatever you want to have in there. And you put the radiator cap on and you
run the engine.
And what happens is the rabbit droppings, maybe they're real rabbit droppings. How would we know? Right?
How would we know? That's what they look
like.
Does
the FDA require that they disclose that? It's not a food.
Yeah. Hopefully it goes around and it plugs up all the leaks.
And the way it works is that it usually works if there are leaks where the coolant is leaking onto the ground, for example, through a leak in the radiator or something like that, or a heater core, where the Bars Leak can begin to escape through the hole, and as it escapes, it dries up and it builds on itself until finally, the hole is shut down.
Yeah, but you don't have that situation.
Well, I just got a new water pump and radiator because it overheated.
Ah.
So, do you think it'll go in there and seal up the head gasket too?
Well, I don't think so. I mean,
I didn't know that it did that.
The head gasket is a kind of a special case for the simple reason that the pressures involved are much greater. Now it can't hurt. I mean, the what did the can of Bars Leak cost you? $6.99?
It's $10 now.
$10.
$10. Jeez, we have to raise our prices. So it's $10. So, and I would take it to this guy. Follow the instructions on the can. I think if it's going to work, you ought to give it a chance. Yeah, by following the directions precisely.
Okay.
Now, there are other products. We use something called AlumaSeal, which costs less. But
it doesn't look like...
It doesn't look like rabbit turds. But it could be that works better or maybe not better. I don't know. But if he likes Bars Leak, ask him to drain the coolant out, flush the system so it's got just water in it, put the stuff in there...
And do it.
Dry it out, and then you drain it out. And put your regular coolant in the air, because if you don't do that, your engine will freeze up pretty soon.
Yeah, that's what the bottle says to do.
And then while he's doing that, you go to church and you say a novena.
Right, Nolina.
Or a novena. Nolina.
And you light at least one.
I knew her name would come in handy.
And you light at least one candle, because you're going to, it's probably just one cylinder that's being affected. And then you can stop by the dealer and see how much a new, I'm guessing this thing has 189,000 miles on it.
No, it has 130,000 miles on it.
That's too bad.
The alternative, by the way, is that you take the engine apart and you do it the right way. You put a new head gasket on, and you, in this case, because you have an 8-cylinder, you would put two new head gaskets on. And I don't know what they charge for this.
But that's probably
$2,500 is what they said.
It could be. He's going to send the heads out and he's going to strip them down. Yeah. He's going to have them pressure tested to make sure there are no cracks in the head. And even at that, there's no guarantee that there's not a crack in the block.
Yeah.
You know, we had my brother's head fixed, but his block is cracked. You know?
But, you can see now why bars leak is certainly worth $10.
It's worth $10 if it works. But if it doesn't work...
It's worth $10 whether it works
or not.
Nolita,
you can buy 250 cans of Barsley for $2,500.
Yeah.
Even if it works for a day.
Okay, I have one more question, okay? If it doesn't work and I don't get it fixed right away, will it do worse damage by...
It'll destroy the engine.
Yeah, the bars leak one. What will happen is every time it overheats, it will wreak havoc on the engine and increase the chances that you crack a cylinder head or the other cylinder head or the block.
And then it's not going to run at all.
Or you scuff up the cylinder wall so badly from its overheating that it begins to burn oil. So you're on a slippery slope here.
But our answer to you is you really got to do the bars leak because it's $10 versus $3,000.
Yeah, but it's a bad situation, so.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, but the bars, I mean, when this is all said and done, you may be shouting Eureka from the rooftops.
Yeah.
If it works. Let us know.
Let
us know before it stops working. But this stuff is remarkably good. I mean, and it does work remarkably well sometimes.
And it's been around for 100 years.
Okay.
All right. See you, Nolina.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And good luck.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227.
That's one of those things, isn't it?
Well, we had a fellow at the garage once who had a huge crack in his block. And he came in and he said, we had looked at his crack. And I said, we looked at the crack in the block, that is. and we looked at the crack in the block and I said, oh, you're done for, man. And he said, no, I'm going to try a few cans of this stuff. And it may have even been Barsley.
It may have been.
Or it was Porter Seal or something
like
that.
What a wonderful name, Barsley.
So he throws a can in and it says on the container, don't use more than a few cans because if it isn't going to work.
He put in five.
Oh, more. He put in like five an hour. And I saw him many, many months later, and I said, hey, how's it going? He said, perfect. It sealed that crack up, and
yeah,
he drove it and drove it and drove it. So you never know. Anyway, Nolene, if you're still listening, buy a few cans. Anyway, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2-
I'm exhausted already.
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Ken from Emmett, Idaho.
Hi, Ken.
Emmett?
Emmett, Idaho,
Oh, so you were born and raised there, eh, Ken?
No. I was born and raised in England.
Well, we would never have guessed.
I'll bet you wouldn't have done.
What's going on, Ken?
I've got a Mazda Tribute 2001, and I've got one little problem. When I start the engine, I get a whooshing noise down by my feet, a like that, as if something is flowing in or out. And that stays on all the time, whether I'm stationary or driving. When I get above 40 miles an hour, it tends to ease off a bit. But it stays on all the time the engine's running.
Is this a stick shift or an automatic?
It's an automatic. Now, the kicker is this, though, that while the noise is on, while I'm driving along, if I take my foot off the gas, it's still there, but if I touch the brake pedal, I don't apply any brake force. I just touch the brake pedal. I doubt whether it moves more than a quarter of an inch. The noise immediately stops.
Oh.
And you could accomplish the same thing, I take it, by not touching the brake pedal in the normal manner, but actually moving the pedal from side to side. If you touched it with the side of your foot and moved it to the left or right, you could make the noise go away.
Probably
is
never
that
tried
right?
That.
I haven't tried that.
Well, and why would you?
Why would you?
Exactly.
Why would you? I mean, it's not going to accomplish anything insofar as stopping the vehicle, but what it will do is verify the fact that it's your power brake booster that's making the noise. It's leaking.
Which is right on the other side of your dashboard under
the
hood.
That's right. It's right in front of the firewall right by my feet.
Exactly.
And the power brake booster uses vacuum, which is created by the suction of the pistons in the cylinders, and it's using that vacuum to multiply the force that you apply to the brake pedal when you're stopping the car.
And if it's leaking, you'll hear a whooshing sound.
Yeah. It's actually almost more like a hissing, like...
Yeah, that's about it.
You know, and the reason it isn't there above 40 or 50 miles an hour is that it's just getting drowned out.
Ah, okay.
You know.
But what's causing it? What, where...
There's a leak diaphragm. There's a hole in the diaphragm. There's a big rubber diaphragm in booster.
You open the hood and look at right up against the dashboard.
Now, this the braking effort is perfectly okay. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, because the hole is not that big.
Right.
No, it's going to get worse, though, huh?
Well, you're losing maybe at this point 5% or some amount of your power
your
braking.
Powerness.
And it's not noticeable. If it were flipped and you were losing 95%.
Of course, I think I'd notice that.
Yeah, you'd notice that.
But this you replace that and the brakes will all come back and the noise will go away.
And it's a few hundred bucks.
Just a few hundred, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a deal.
Well, when do I get that? You send that to me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll send you one in the mail.
You just add water, and in 2 weeks when it's full size, you can install it.
Okay.
See you, Ken.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Right, bye-bye.
Oh, boy.
Bye. All right, look, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler, which was about Pinewood Derby race cars.
Those are cars with no engines, right?
Yes, but your Fiat's not eligible. I already know what you're thinking, and not starting is not the same as having no engine.
Oh, too bad.
Oh, yeah, a real loss for the Derby. Anyway, the puzzler was about real Pinewood Derby race cars, and we'll have the whole story along with more of your calls in just a minute.
So stay tuned.
Her photo chariot is in the parking lot. It isn't moving today. Turns the key and waits, it don't even hesitate, and she let go her AAA. Can't miss another day, boss will dock her, pay her worse, he might let her go. No buses anywhere, can't pay a taxi fare, so she takes off running down the road.
And even though the NPR window washer dumps his bucket on our seat cushions whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And I think I mentioned this was a quasi-automotive puzzler. I mean...
Yeah, it's pretty... Right? Yeah, quasi-automotive. Automotives were involved.
Indeed, and it was sent in by a fellow named John Whittier. He writes, "This is the season for Cub Scouts all over the country to hold their Pinewood Derby races. For those of you who don't know what this is, it's a contest where kids build little wooden race cars. You know, they give you a block of wood and four wheels, if you're lucky, and a bunch of nails. And
you make a car out of it.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, my two sons built their cars and wanted to compete against each other at home prior to the real race. So I built a simple racetrack out of materials that I had on hand. I only had enough material to build a one-lane track, but not to worry. I plan to run the cars individually and use a stopwatch to time each of them. So Son A would put his car at the top and let it go. I'd start the watch, and when it got across the finish line, I'd click the watch again. But when we attempted to hold these races, I discovered that the cars traversed my little track so quickly that I couldn't start and stop the watch fast enough to accurately measure the times.
Sure, that baby's...
So we could really determine which car was faster. We couldn't do it. But then my younger son, who was 8 years old at the time, came up with a solution. Now, don't forget, all we had was the two cars, the test track, which we know was kind of short, the stopwatch, a quart of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil, a liter of Welch's grape juice, and the three of us, the two boys and myself. What solution did my son come up with?
Eight-year-old son.
This kid's going places.
This kid is going places is right.
Well, it doesn't involve the Filippo Berio olive oil. It doesn't involve the stopwatch. He very simply said, let's put both cars on the track, one behind the other. If the front car, that is the car closest to the finish line, is faster, when we release the two cars, simultaneously, of course, that one will pull away from the other one. And it will be the faster car.
Otherwise, the other one will push it over the finish
line. Well, once you've done that first heat, you then reverse the position of the cars. mm-hmm. and see if, in fact, the no gap opens. And then the rear car, which had been the front car, will be the faster car.
Eight-year-old
little twerp. Good work. So who's our winner, Tommy?
Our winner this week is Robert Munch from Warren, Michigan. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers we got, Robert is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he could get our collection of favorite stories called Once Upon a Car Fire, the greatest stories ever told.
Now, I should mention, these are true stories as told on the air on National Public Radio by us, and they involve almost no exaggeration. Would you agree with that?
I would say no exaggeration at all.
Is that an exaggeration?
It's almost not an exaggeration.
There you go, folks. Well, congratulations, Robert. You can get your copy of Once Upon a Car Fire at the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com. And if you want to try to win this week's puzzler, stay tuned because it's coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, give us a call at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Fernando. How you guys doing?
We're good, Fernando. What's going on?
Hey, not much. I heard your show the other day, and I was on a long ride, and you guys are really entertaining.
Oh, you've only listened to once, eh?
Yeah, that's how bored I was.
Wait, did you tell us where you're from?
Well, I'm a federal police officer. I'm stationed in the sub base up in St. Mary's, Georgia, but I'm down here with my wife in Miami now. Now I'm in her car. She got a Lexus, but my problem is with my Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
The air conditioner went out with the price of gas these days. I said, to hell with the air conditioner. I just transferred the belt where I eliminated the air conditioning. And she was running around with the windows open, this cloth thing that's got on the roof. And all of a sudden, I thought I was getting shorter, but it was the roof is coming down on my head.
the headliner is falling down.
Yeah, that's it, the headliner. But for real, I thought I was getting shorter because I kept looking in the mirror. And I said, damn, the roof is, you know. And what I want to know is, did I just tear that damn thing down? Or is there a way I could do it myself?
Well, how old is this Jeep?
It's a 98.
Well, you could have a new headliner installed.
Okay.
Or you can rip that one out and forget about it.
It'll be pretty ugly if you tear it off.
Well, it's uglier now because people drive by me and they stare.
I think what might be a better solution, well, you know, you might want to take it to a body shop and see if they can do something for cheap. I mean, a new headliner, I'm pretty sure in this vehicle, is going to require taking one of the windshields out.
Right.
Because it's the only way you're going to get the thing in. Actually, the simplest and cheapest thing to do is to cut holes in this thing so you can get some adhesive in there. So if you cut a few slits in it, you might be able to get enough adhesive in there so you can glue it back on. And then where you've cut it won't even be visible.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty good. Because my 14-year-old came up almost something similar, but he wanted just for me to stick my head in a damn hole.
you could do that, too.
He's close.
makes it tough to drive, but a body shop may have a more creative solution. Either that or you buy a bunch of 2x4s and shore the thing up. Good
duct
luck,
tape.
Fernando.
I was thinking of duct tape. Hey, thank you, guys. You guys are great. Take care, guys.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike from Milburn, New Jersey.
How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
I'm doing good. Well, here's my problem. We've been a minivan family for over 10 years. We got three kids. Currently have two Chrysler minivans, actually Daimler minivans. I like to tell people that.
Daimler, yes.
I'm driving a Daimler.
I'm driving a Daimler.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
My wife has determined that we've now entered the post-minivan stage because our youngest is now 13. But my 17-year-old daughter, who's been driving for about 6 months now, doesn't want to be caught dead in it. She's embarrassed to be seen in a minivan. I want to get a replacement, but the problem is I'm a real big guy, 6'1". I weigh about 380, and I can't find a car that I can actually fit in, and my daughter won't want to be caught dead in. Also, I don't really want to put her behind the wheel of a new vehicle 6 months into her licenseship. So I'm looking for a used car that we wouldn't have to pay more than about $10,000 for after I sell the minivan.
Geez, you know, I remember when I was about to get my license, my father offered me his Rambler. And I said, no way. I mean, could anything be more uncool?
It was a nice 59 Rambler.
Than driving a Rambler. And I said, no, I'm not going to drive no stinking Rambler. The geeks drive Ramblers. And he said,
I'll never get a date for the rest of my life.
He said, you don't want it, huh? I said, no, I'd rather walk. And he said, Great.
I already tried that one.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, well, she's been driving the minivan for the last 6 months, and she still doesn't want to be caught dead in it.
Well, I didn't want to be caught dead in the thing either. So, I mean, she'll drive it as little as possible if that's the case. Would you rather have her behind the wheel or one of her friends driving around in their car?
Well, I'd rather have her behind the wheel.
No, then you got to get her what she'll drive. And the car that we've been recommending of late, you don't want to buy her a new car. You want to get a used one. Is an older Volvo. Volvos are kind of funky looking. I mean, they're ugly enough that they are appealing to kids.
Yeah, well, at least it's innocuous looking. At least.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't a minivan.
That's true.
And she's going to have
pretty safe.
And she's going to have to meet you halfway, don't forget. I mean, she probably wants a BMW, which you don't want to, or something
like
that.
The car that she really likes is the Honda Element.
She does love it, huh?
Yeah, but I don't have any knee room. Yeah.
Have you considered dropping a few pounds, Mike?
I thought of that, but that's not going to make me any shorter.
No, it won't.
Well, I don't think that's going to.
It might actually.
How about we amputate one leg?
Well, that would help because it's the knee room. Because the problem is my knee needs to kind of go over to one side, and I can't do that with the consoles at most of these cars.
Well, I mean, go sit in an 850 Volvo and see if you fit in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be one recommendation.
Yeah, well, we used to have a 240, and that was okay.
Oh.
We actually sold it before we became minivans. Family.
And you fit in it, but that was years ago.
Yeah, that was years ago, but I wasn't that much smaller then, so the problem is it rusted out from underneath, and I was about to fall through, so we had to get rid of it about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, that would have been bad, falling through.
It would have been very bad. I didn't like that idea at all.
Well, I think if you bought an old 240 even,
mm-hmm.
that would satisfy you and her.
Also, you might want to consider something like a Crown Vic. How's that?
Oh, I'm sure
she'll love that.
I'm sure that's got to be the hippest thing, man.
Yeah, I would love that.
But you'd fit in it.
Yeah. Well, the Crown Vic or a Lincoln Town Car, that would be great.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Yeah, but she doesn't like that idea.
Yeah. Well, you can just decide that. You know, here's what you do. You give her a list.
Mm-hmm.
You say it's going to be one of these four cars.
Yeah, and the fifth choice is walking.
Or the minivan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to take charge.
Wait a minute. Do you have a 17-year-old daughter?
Yeah, I have a 17-year-old daughter.
Are you in charge?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Scratch that.
Scratch that. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I recommended. I can't tell you how many different cars to her, all of which I thought were decent.
Mm-hmm.
And oh no, I wouldn't be caught dead. You know all that story.
Well, you have to let her. Somehow, if you can trick her into thinking that she's, you know, calling the shots.
Well, for 10, I'm just thinking, what would the list be if we're talking about $10,000? We got a couple of...
Well, a little bit more than that, because I'll get something for
Well, you know what you could also get is a Volkswagen Beetle, which you would fit into.
I would fit into that?
You would fit into that. Daniel Pinkwater says you would.
Okay.
Daniel Pinkwater is somewhat horizontally challenged.
Circumferentially
challenged, he calls it.
Gravitationally challenged.
Gravitationally challenged, that's even better. And he claims that when he tried all the possible cars, he found that the new Beetle was the one he fit into
which
the best.
Which is now old enough to be a used.
Which is now old enough to be available used, correct.
Well, that's a possible choice.
Okay, so we got two Volvos, a VW Beetle.
Okay.
A Crown Vic,
Lincoln and a
Lincoln
Town Car.
And a Hummer.
And a Hummer?
And the minivan.
She might like the Hummer.
She'd like the Hummer, yeah.
I think that's above my budget.
Mike, I wish you the very best 17-year-old daughter.
You can always run away from home.
Yeah.
There's always that. Good luck, Mike. We feel your pain.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Do you know what time it is?
Sure, time to turn the grease pit into a lap pool.
No, no, no. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we check in with someone who took our advice in the past to see if Blue Cross covered everything. And that's all that we want to know.
Well, who's our contestant this week?
It's Julie from Columbus, Ohio. Remember Julie? Me too, neither.
No, why don't you fill me in,
all
man?
Right. Julie called us a couple of months back because the heat in her Nissan Quest stopped
I
working
do remember, Julie.
Whenever she stopped the car. Julie conveyed the urgency that she felt around this situation by revealing to us that it had taken her 7 years to call us about it. The fact that it's been 7 years tells us a lot, because it eliminates a lot of potential answers.
Okay.
For unfortunately, example, it eliminates just about all of them.
Just about all of them, right.
Well, it's possible you have a faulty heater control valve.
Okay.
Now, the other possibility, and we've run into this a lot with Quests, when the coolant is flushed, these are very difficult to bleed.
Okay.
And it's possible that, whoever has done the work has just never purged the system completely of air.
Whoa.
And you've got a little
Wait a minute.
Of air.
The symptom precedes the replacement of the water pump.
I know that.
Right. Then why were you trying to bamboozle her?
I wasn't. I had her eating out of my hand, and you blew it again.
Yeah, I saved your sorry butt again, you mean.
Well, what did we finally tell Julie?
We told her it was probably the heater control valve.
Likely story. Okay, let's see how we did. Julie, are you there?
I am here.
Look, hey.
Before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That is true.
And is it also true that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or the supply of Bronco Nagurski long underwear that we sent to you?
No, it has not.
Great.
All right, here's the fateful question. Was it the heater control valve?
No, sir.
Oh! And did you fix it finally?
Yeah.
And it was?
Well, I hope you're sitting far away from each other, because it might lead to some
fisticuffs. Uh-oh, had to bleed the system.
Yes, sir, it needed to be burned. Ahem.
Oh, boy.
Wait a minute. Let's go back. Wait a minute.
Julie,
you're not in a hurry, are you?
No.
Wait a minute. We didn't hear the...
Let's hear the tape again. I think we need to hear the last minute or so. from the whoa. Yeah. Okay, we're going to hear the last minute or so. Now, the other possibility, and we've run into this a lot with Quests, when the coolant is flushed, these are very difficult to bleed.
Okay.
And it's possible that, whoever has done the work has just never purged the system completely of air.
Whoa.
And you've got a little
Wait a minute.
Of air.
The symptom precedes the replacement of the water pump.
I know that.
Right. Then why were you trying to bamboozle her?
I wasn't. See, now, this is a case of big brother bullying little brother. I allowed him to bully me.
Well,
what did I say? I said we have run into this a lot with Quests.
You have, yes.
And that when the coolant is flushed, these are very difficult to bleed. I'll repeat, we've run into this a lot with Quests. And then I was confronted with, whoa. It whoa means Gus. And I relented. I didn't stick to my guns.
I have to admit, I don't remember the whole call, but evidently she had a water pump replaced.
Yeah.
And
that guy didn't bleed it correctly either. Why? Because we've run into a lot of this with Quest, and so did they.
All right, I give up.
I want a public apology.
You got it, man. I apologize publicly.
Well, Julie?
Yes?
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps. Thanks for vindicating me. And I'm glad your Quest is fixed.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Julie.
All right.
You later.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
All right, look, I think we have to take a little break here.
Good, because there's a group of people outside the studio looking for autographs, and it'd be nice if we stepped outside and said hello to them during the break. That's what I think.
What makes you think they want our autographs?
Well, I can see from here. They got their pictures, their pens in their hands.
Those aren't pens. Those are darts, knucklehead.
All right, we wear the Kevlar outfits.
We'll be back in a minute with a brand new puzzler and, of course, more of your calls. So stay tuned.
I got a suntan left arm from cruising all day long. Fill up the tank and here we go. What could be wrong? Yeah, my highfalutin buddies may look at me and frown, but the AC works real fine long as my window's down. See, all my cars are beaters.
I don't buy no other kind. All my cars are beaters. I got the cheapest I can find. It's plain and simple, and like me, not much to see. But at least with my old beater, I drive it worry-free.
And even though NPR listeners everywhere turn their tote bags inside out whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. This
Go
is
ahead.
Short and sweet. See, this is just a few lines. You're going to like this.
That's what it looks like.
It, it starts off that way.
Between there and your lips. anything can happen.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens.
Great.
This was sent in by actually fairly recently, as recently as last year, by someone named Chris Inman. And I don't know if Chris is a guy or a gal, but it doesn't really matter. Last summer, I'm going to assume Chris is a he. Last summer, he says, I was driving cross country, okay, from east to west. I was driving from the east coast to the west coast, and I was somewhere in Kansas, and it was around noontime. For miles, I'm surrounded by farms that are raising a single crop. It's beautiful to look at, but confusing to understand. When I look to my right, I see fields of yellow. When I look to my left, I see fields of green. And yet, a single crop is being grown. Explain. Now, if you think you know the answer,
ooh,
write it on a postcard or the back of a $26 bill. Well, how about that GPS, the Celestron GPS?
Give it up, will you? You ain't going to get one. Just give it up.
Celestron GPS.
Shoot for 11, the $20. Try for the 20
all right,
bucks.
All right, $26 bill.
You got a shot at 20 bucks.
All right. Well, anyway, Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. That's the address. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. That's the other address. If you want to call us right now, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. You know, I'm still ticked about...
Hello?
Wait a minute. Julie.
Hi, Julie.
No, this isn't Julie. I'm still ticked about Julie.
Well, you have to admit, first of all I did was point out to you that the water pump had been replaced after.
You could have been a little more supportive.
I could have
you
been.
You could have been.
I was trying to help my brother not get into trouble.
No, but.
And the fact that you happen to be right, I mean, geez, what's that got to do with it?
All right, who's this? I give up.
This is not Julie. That was Julie. Hello, who's this?
This is Susan from Orleans, Mass.
Hi, Susan
Orleans.
From Orleans. How are you?
Good, how are you?
You live in Orleans, like, year-round?
Year-round.
Are you bored to death?
No, it's really very nice.
Are you retired?
No.
Is your husband retired?
No.
Is anyone retired?
Everyone else is.
Everyone else is retired, right. So what do you do out there all week? Orleans, by the way, for those of you who aren't familiar with Massachusetts, is a little town way out on Cape Cod. It's like halfway or more to Provincetown. It's out on a little spit.
Oh, from Boston, it's more much more than halfway to
no,
Provincetown.
No, I mean from the piece there that sticks out.
Oh, from the bridge.
For example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way out there, and there's a lot going on in the summer, of course, but there ain't much going on in the winter, at least as far as I know. Maybe you know more.
Well, no, there's plenty going on, and we have kids, so they're in school.
Yeah. See, right. Tommy thinks unless there are, like, riots and demonstrations going on outside your front door, that it's boring. He should live. You should live in France for a few years.
Oh, I go there pretty regularly.
No, Tommy should live in France.
Why?
Because
there are
riots and demonstrations
every day
outside your window. Anyway, Susan, what's going on?
I have a Toyota 4Runner,
and
now that the weather's gotten nice, I've got the windows down, and on the left side of the car, there's this noise that sounds like the springtime peepers. Peep, 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 peep.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't change. I can accelerate. I can stop. It just makes this noise. It used to do it for about 15 minutes, then 30 minutes. Now it's like 45 minutes before it stops.
And it
doesn't seem to matter if I speed up, slow down. It's just this beep, 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 beep.
I'm not going to like this.
Oh, no.
This is going to be painful. You ask her the question.
No, I'm not asking. No, I'm remaining neutral. You're on your own, Susan. You ask the questions.
So you get in the car. You got to be moving, though, right?
Yeah, as soon as I start down the driveway.
Yeah. And do you go out the driveway backwards or forwards?
Well, I start out, I have to back up, and then I go forward down the driveway.
And so the noise starts as you're backing up.
Right.
And doesn't change. When you get to the end of the driveway and you step on the brake, does the noise continue?
Yes.
But when you stop, it stops.
No. It keeps going until about, like I said, it started out about 15 minutes and 30 minutes. Now it's like up to 45. And that's why I was getting concerned. I have to drive this car for a long time.
Why?
None of your damn business.
I want to know.
Oh, Susan.
You say that you've driven this all winter.
Yes.
And you think the noise was there during the winter?
Well, I don't know because I didn't drive with the windows open. We had a lot of snow.
But you heard it as soon the first day you opened the window.
First day I opened the window.
And here's this for a test. How about if you close the window now?
I don't hear it.
Oh, Susan.
All right, so it's pretty subtle.
Yeah, but, I mean, everyone else in the car can hear it.
Oh, here's an important question. Will it go away if you turn the engine off?
Yes.
All right, good.
Yeah, no, we're there.
All right. I think Susan needs a belt.
And
I don't mean the kind that's under the hoodie.
I think you need a belt, too. I think she does, too.
Yeah, I was going to suggest the kind of belt you get from a bottle of Jim Beam.
Oh, that kind of a belt. Yeah, I happen to agree with you this time.
So it's just a belt.
Well, I think so.
You can verify this because the vehicle does not have to be in motion to hear the noise. You can actually open the hood when it's making its noise the worst and see if you can actually hear it louder by opening the hood and listening.
Okay, and that's why it would stop after a while?
Yeah, belts, what generally happens with belts is they rubber actually is one of the things that will shrink when it gets hotter. And so a loose belt or a worn belt will often make noise when the engine is first started, but then as it runs for a while, the noise will go away.
Okay.
You know, so I think that could
be. And it does, you say it lasts for up to 45 minutes and then does go away.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't figure out what would stop. Why wouldn't it just get worse?
Yeah, well, eventually it'll stop because the belt will break. But you must have like 50,000 miles on this thing?
89.
I think you're ready for a belt.
See, okay. When you're in Orleans, you got to do anything to get out of there and get there's excitement.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why she's got so many.
I have to go to Boston occasionally.
That's right.
Yeah, and those trips to France really put the mileage on, too. See you, Susan.
Okay, thanks so much.
Good luck.
Bye.
My 1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255.
Anyway, since she had recently had the water pump replaced.
What? Where did this come from?
She was complaining about the...
Whoa, what happened?
The whole problem months, years before. That's why I said that the water pump the symptom preceded the replacement of the water pump.
But you can try to defend yourself as best you can, but you can't argue with the facts.
That you were right.
The facts are that she had air in her system.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so.
What, gas?
Yes. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brian from San Luis Obispo, California.
What's up?
I have a 98 Ford Escort, a wagon. Actually, we have two of them, a 97, 98. Our question is a parking question. Our parking space is on a fence that shares a field, a baseball field. And there in the springtime is baseball season. And this is, you know, little kids parents wanting little kids to be major leaguers by the end of the summer.
Right, so they can ride their coattails into stardom and wealth.
Exactly, exactly. So every spring we have the whole car parking problem. Our parking lot fills up with SUVs, Hummers, all kinds of cars. And I have tried like mad for the last 4 years to curtail this parking, especially in our spots, which are closest to the fence opening. The latest issue was I put a note on this gentleman's car that said, please do not park in my space again. Didn't you see the sign on the fence and the sign that I had said no baseball parking? Later that night, I parked back in my spot, and I found my note on the ground. on the back of that note was, quote, get a life.
Next time the back of the note's going to say, that in your handwriting, get a new tire. Or get a new windshield.
I'm wow. about ready to do that.
Who owns this property?
Our landlord.
Oh, it's simple.
How big is this piece of property?
18 spots.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a fairly large little lot there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
it's perfectly suited. Nine guys on a team, two teams. Spots. I mean, couldn't be better than that.
The get a life comment is totally inappropriate. The guy is parking on somebody else's private property and deserves anything he can get. And why don't you just call the police and get the guy towed away?
Well, here's the issue. The police, since it's a private lot, I've called the police, and they won't touch it.
But the
towing company will. But here's the issue. We saw a tenant the other day call the towing company. Of course, as soon as the tow truck showed up, all the people got in their minivans and SUVs and left.
Good, perfect. That's exactly what you want.
It's just that it's the hassle of it, you know?
It is.
Being out there, having the big confrontation.
Do you have parking stickers for this lot?
There are numbers that are faded on the cement bumps that the tires roll against.
No. Is there a way for the tow company to differentiate between your
cars that
the
belong
authorized
there.
Cars? And
no, there's not.
Well, you need to do that first. And then you hire a private tow company, and they'll just cruise the thing. And if they see anyone parked, they just hook the thing up and tow them away.
The trouble is that it's in the lot, I gather, is in full view of the field.
Oh, absolutely.
And so the moment the tow truck shows up, I mean, I have to admit that I was once guilty of parking illegally like this.
Yeah.
And
once my foot.
And the tow truck came, and I was able to see the tow truck, and I was a little bit late getting there, and the car was already up on the hook. And naturally, being the good citizen that I am, I jumped into the car because tow trucks aren't allowed to tow anybody in the car. And so the tow truck driver, who had no teeth and was angry, told me to get out of the car.
He had lost all his teeth in various barroom brawls. Yeah.
And I was about to lose mine.
I'm sure.
But I was successful, actually, at that time in convincing him that this is through a closed window and a locked door, of course. I rolled the window down an eighth of an inch, and I told him I wasn't going to leave because I was ready to take a nap. And if he thought he could sit there long enough to wait me out, then he was welcome to do that. But I pointed out he could be making a lot more money towing somebody who was not asleep in his car.
Right.
But you never parked there
again. But I didn't
park
there again.
No, you got religion.
Yeah.
And don't forget, if these people are jumping in their cars and driving away, then it's disturbing their game. So they're not going to do it anymore.
Well, the problem, though, from Brian's point of view, I think, is the tow truck isn't going to want to come anymore.
There are a lot of tow companies. Someone will want to come.
Okay.
Yeah, boy, that's...
If you could only get to tow... If you only had time enough to tow one guy away...
Yeah.
...for $100, you need a stealth tow truck.
But see, this is... I mean...
I got it! A cardboard tow truck. You can kind of wheel out. Is there a way to lock them in?
Well, our landlord has suggested this, putting a gate or a chain fence up at the beginning. Unfortunately, that means that each of the tenants has to unlock and lock that each time they go in.
Only when the game's on.
That's true. So I guess it'd only be for a couple of hours.
And a couple of months.
Could only be for less than that. I mean, you wait until the game is over.
Yeah.
You sneak out and you put up the lock. And then everyone is sitting there.
And you charge them $100
and
a piece to get out.
And you charge them $100 to get out. Exactly.
That's a great idea.
I like that even better.
Yeah. Well,
sure, that would be worth the investment just to get the laughs. You want to get out? $100 a car. If you want to call your lawyer or you want to take a walk to the ATM, go ahead. I'll be here when you get back.
You might try just printing up some flyers and handing them out while they're there, you know, and say.
No warning. They've had their warning. It's time now to charge them for the parking.
To take matters into your own hands.
Take matters into your own hands. Lock them in.
I don't
like
it.
I love the idea of locking them in.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. If you do this thing, make sure you have somebody who's big there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they'll get angry, especially the guy in the Hummer. He's probably crazy already because he's got a Hummer.
Hey, but you shouldn't do it because they'll. How big are you?
I'm 6'3", but I'm pretty thin.
Oh, one of those wiry guys?
I'm one of those wiry guys.
That doesn't work.
No.
We need bulk here.
You need 6'3 and 380.
Wait a minute. We had a guy call a little while ago that weighed 380.
That's what you need.
Let's see. Where was he from?
Is he close?
Yeah, he travels, too.
He travels. He was from New Jersey. You have to come a long way.
Good luck, Brian. This is a tough situation, but try to keep cool.
Thank you so much.
Let us know how you make up.
Bye. All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again.
I love your idea.
You've dispersed another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman, what other names? Pumpkin Lips. Cute Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kara McKnight. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the off-the-map ginger snap, chocolate frap, mushroom cap, maple sap, black strap, kitchen scrap, turkey wrap, beer and tap, pre-buffet reconnaissance lap, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hey, Would You Buzz Off. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our wardrobe advisor is Luke Howard Fitzhugh. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahamada Hamada. Our physical therapist is Eustace Kane. Our physics graduate student is Laura Venertia. Our safari planner is Sarah Ann Getty. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our head of front desk security is Constance Noring. Our optometric firm is CF Eye Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the postdocs selling Baba Ganoush in Harvard Square as Hugh Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
Hey, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1220, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, more questions and answers.
In case you're not already sick of us by now, every week we answer a couple of questions on our blog at the Car Talk website. It's kind of like what Dear Abby would be like if she worked on cars and hadn't shaved for a couple of months. Check out this week's Dear Tom and Ray letters right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though listeners wonder whether they've got some kind of weird one-hour virus whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.